help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 143, the first two verses. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. It is 1 and 2 of 143. Thank you. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, thereof Psalm 86. But first, let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Psalm 86, the prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me in the assemblies of violent men, have sought after my soul, and have set thee, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember in prayer tonight the Averink family with the passing away of Caleb. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence among us tonight. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, again from thy precious word we have heard of thy excellencies, of how great thou art, that thou art that God, not only is holy, righteous, just, but also compassionate, full of mercy, long-suffering. And Lord, that we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace is because of thy long-suffering mercy. In this morning, we could announce that there was life given in this past week. And now, tonight, we need to announce that a young man, 25 years old, has passed away. Thou hast taken him out of this world. He had to appear before thee. Lord, may we lay before thee the family, the brothers, the sisters, all those related unto him, but also all those who knew him and who worked with him. Lord, remember each one. Thou art the God of comfort, and thou art the only one who can comfort grieving, mourning ones. Oh, we beg thee that thou would remember this family, uphold them, and give that this calling may be sanctified to them, to all those who worked with him, but also to us, as again we heard, prepare to meet thy God, that we have been born, and at any time we will be called from this life to stand before thee, our Creator, against whom we have sinned. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then for thy grace, that what we have heard from this psalm, the prayer of David, may be real and true in each of our own hearts and our lives, that we may need thee to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, and that we may have that heart that longs to serve thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need a renewal. We need to be drawn unto thee, taught by thee, led by thee, cared by thee. And thou alone art that almighty triune God, in whom there is grace, abundance of grace, for the chiefest and the vilest of sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, may there be some among us who feel it's so hopeless, it's so helpless. Maybe they have come tonight with a burden of sin and wondering, would there be hope for such a one? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would proclaim through thy word who thou art. May they have heard it through the reading of thy word, and that there may be hope, that there may be that hunger, that thirst for thee born in the hearts of sinners. May they be drawn to look outside of self unto thee, that almighty God. And so, Lord, again thou hast given that we may gather together here in thy house with the congregation, with visitors and family. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy presence of thy Holy Spirit to work irresistibly, mightily, powerfully, to teach us not only of death, of what we deserve because of our sin, but also reveal unto us that only way of life through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would also especially remember those who will make public confession of faith. Help each one of them, give, that they may not only do this with their mouth, but may it be by thy grace also with their heart. And if they cannot tonight, oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would then work in them, and that at time they may truly become a broken and a needy sinner before thee, and needing thee, and that thou would give unto them all that they need, not for only for this life, but thy grace to be prepared to leave this life. We beg and ask thee to remember parents whose children may have gone into the world, who have no need for thy word, who do not read thy word, who living only according to their sins and iniquities in their flesh. Oh, we beg thee that thou would awaken them and bring them back, not only into church, but especially to bring them back unto thyself. And Lord, when we hear the questions and the answers, Wilt thou give also all those who have made public confession of faith may be reminded of what they have done before thee and before the church? We ask, Lord, that thou would then forgive also all our many sins, because all of us who have made public confession of faith, we also stand guilty. Who can say they have lived perfectly according unto what they have promised? O, wilt thou wash us then and cleanse us in that all-atoning blood? We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember those who may have had an opportunity to come to confession class and to make confession of faith, but they had no desire. They're here in church, but yet their heart is still clinging to the world like Orpah. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would awaken them and work mightily, irresistibly. We beg and pray thee, Lord, then that thou would give opening of our darkened, sinful minds to hear thy word, to hear the truth, to hear thy voice, and that thou would instruct us. Open our spiritually blind eyes, that we do not see our great misery and who we are before thee, but open also our eyes through thy word to see who thou art. Thou art that almighty, holy God who will by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty, and we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed to be able to stand before thee, to meet thee in peace. Oh, teach us then of that great need of a one who has come, who fulfilled the law, who paid the price, who gave everything for a people who are guilty transgressors and who have nothing. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would richly bless then thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We beg and pray thee that thou would also give that more men may be thrust out who know of thy grace to work in thy vineyard. Lord, wilt thou work in them, call them, and thrust them out, and that they must say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, we beg thee, there is a great need throughout the entire world that there may be more ambassadors to proclaim thy word of death in Adam and life in Christ. But Lord, wilt thou also look upon us as a denomination? Have mercy upon us. And we beg thee that in the coming weeks, when the curatorium will meet again, oh, may it be in thy favor, and that men, may it be many, may be accepted, and that we may rejoice in the wonderful works of God. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We deserve nothing. We're a sinful people. We're a polluted denomination, but may we ask thee for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for the glory, and for the coming generation. Lord, there are so many pulpits that are vacant. So many congregations do not have an under-shepherd. Oh, we beg thee then, have mercy. Remember then all those who are studying and preparing to become ambassadors throughout the world. Oh, wilt thou teach them by thy word and spirit, and that they may be faithful to thee, to thy honor, to thy glory, and that they may proclaim the whole counsel of God according to the meaning of the Spirit. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then also the government of Canada. Oh, we beg thee that thou would give the tender fear of the Lord in the hearts of those who rule over us, that they may begin each day upon their knees, and that thy word may be a light upon their pathway, and that they may need thee to teach them to rule over this nation. Lord, forgive us also of our many, many sins against all thy commandments. O, give a repentance that we may honor the institution of marriage as thou hast given unto us in thy word, that we may respect that thou hast created us male and female, and that there may be respect for life from the moment of conception until natural death. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, look upon us in mercy, work mightily, and bless the means that may be used to speak out against that great sin of abortion. We pray, Lord, that thou would also remember the persecuted church, those who cannot freely meet to worship thee. Wilt thou uphold them, care for them, remember them. Remember thy covenant people, the Jews. Lord, we pray, thou hast promised in thy word that thou would take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see that thy word, the New Testament, that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, fulfill thy own promise for thy honor, for thy glory, and for their salvation. Lord, we ask that thou would remember then also all our young people, the children. Bless the education in our homes, in the schools, not only to be able to be prepared to live in this world, but to be prepared to leave this world. Lord, give God-fearing parents, God-fearing teachers, and that our children may be instructed, and that they may receive the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they may have that same choice as we heard in this morning of Ruth, to belong unto thee and to thy people. Lord, we lay then all these needs before thee, and we beg thee, Lord, come among us. May we be able to say when we go home, it was good to be here, because the Lord was among us. Lord, richly bless thy word. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and give ears to hear. Take away all the distractions. Cast out that evil one who would like to pluck at the seed, and give a blessed hour together. And Lord, we again beg thee, remember also each one of those who will make public confession of faith. Give thankfulness unto the families, that they may see their siblings, their children or grandchildren or other relatives, that they may make confession. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that it all may be to thy honor, to thy glory. And Lord, we ask then also in this week, that couple who hope to be married, the Lord willing, in Friday. Lord, remember David and Unday. Help them, guide them, and lead them, and that they may also receive a blessing in thy house on that day when they may be married together in thy presence. Lord, remember us all in our marriages, in our life as singles. Lord, give us the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts, that we may love thee above all else and each other as ourself. Lord, forgive us of our many sins. Wash us and cleanse us, and that all atoning blood of the Lamb, we pray, look upon us, hear us, and answer us in thy mercy, because of him who sits at thy right hand, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service now with singing from Psalter 233, all six stanzas. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 233, all six stanzas, and the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the disaster fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation and visitors, tonight we hope to witness, to hear the public confession of faith of seven dear friends, seven sinners. These young people have studied the truths of the Bible, the doctrines taught in the Word of God, and have expressed a desire to confess their faith, what they believe is the biblical truth, what God teaches in His Word. And they confess also their desire to worship together with us in this house of God. And they also confess to submit to discipline, church discipline, if it is necessary. And I may say it was with joy these 7 months or more to be able to teach, to be able to come together to study God's precious word. And tonight you will make confession of faith, public confession of faith. Outward confession is a blessing. We're thankful as parents or grandparents to see your children here, or others to see your friend here. It's a blessing. But that's not enough. It's not enough. It's a blessing to belong to a church, to belong to a church family. But we need a greater blessing. We need to be able to make confession of faith, not only with the mouth, but also with the heart. And listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I pray that by God's grace we may confess with heart and mouth. Tonight we heard the word of God read to us from Psalm 86. It's a beautiful prayer of David. David, as a poor and afflicted sinner, knows that the Lord is the only source of all his needs, especially for his never dying soul. David has no expectation in himself anymore. His only expectation, when you read the psalm, is in the Almighty God. And we see this when we read this psalm over, that this psalm consists of 14 petitions, 14 cries, 14 sighs, 14 little prayers that go out of his mouth, that we believe comes from his heart and goes up unto the throne of grace to God. Each petition is a cry of a poor and needy sinner unto the only true living God. We read in verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. David pleads for mercy. David desires the Lord to keep his soul, and he lifts up his soul unto God. He lifts up his soul unto God, and he asks God for all his help, not only for his body, but especially for his soul. And he asks God, that Almighty God, to teach him of true joy. We read this in the following verses. Psalm 86, verse 2, 3, and 4. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And so we hear this prayer of David. May I ask you, congregation, each one? It's not only about these 7 people, these 7 friends. No, it's about each one of us tonight. May I ask you first, confession class, do you pray? Congregation, visitors, family, do you pray? Do you pray like David does? Do you know of praying as a poor and needy sinner, of sighs and cries and groans that go out of your heart, out of your mouth, unto the only true living God? Do you pray daily? No, not just for your needs of this world, for your body, but do you pray daily for your soul? Do you need God's mercy? Do you need God's grace? Can you not live without His mercy, His grace, that you need Him to bless you? Do you lift up your soul to God? Do you ask, Lord, teach me not only who I am, who Thou art, and the way of salvation, but teach me as David did in this psalm of that only true joy? All those who know something of true and saving faith have many different experiences, many different feelings. They have sorrows, they have joys, they have many needs, not only for their bodies, but for their souls. They have expectations, they have disappointments, but they also have joys. What does true saving sound like, congregation? What does true saving look like? How are those who make true confession of faith, public confession of faith, how are they called to live? What is to be in their heart? What's to be in his heart, her heart? What do they confess? What is confession? Well, Psalm 86 answers these questions. Who's the author of Psalm 86? David. Who is David? David is what we read in the Word of God, of a man after God's own heart. So in Psalm 86, we hear something that comes out of a heart of a child of God. We hear something of true confession of faith. And tonight, we will consider one verse. But before we come to our text and our theme and our points, a few points. Psalm 86 is a very remarkable psalm. Why? If you read this psalm over carefully, you don't only hear 14 petitions, 14 confessions or needs, you also hear different names of God. We hear God various times. We hear the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah. But we also hear another name various times. I believe it's 8 times, Lord, in capital letters, Adonai. What does that name mean? It means ruler, king. So what does this teach us? Who is this psalm written by? David. Who's David? He's a child of God, but he's also a king. But when David comes in prayer before God, he doesn't come before him as a king. He comes before him as a poor and needy sinner when he comes in prayer in the presence of God. David believes. He confesses his hope in the only ruler, the only king, the King of Kings. David surrenders and submits to King, the King, to God, to Jehovah, to the Lord, Adonai. Saving grace takes a sinner from his throne. Yes, we're born by nature, we're little on little thrones. We think we're king, but saving grace takes off of that throne and we begin to look, to cry to him who's on the throne of thrones, the Almighty God. Saving grace causes a sinner to bow before the Almighty King, before his throne, and to submit to him. May I ask you another personal question? Who's king in your life? Boys? Girls? Teenagers? Young people? Confession of faith class? Who is king in your heart? Have you wholeheartedly surrendered, submitted to the only king, to God? But there's something else also in this psalm which is very notable. David, as a poor and afflicted, needy sinner, he meditates upon whom? He meditates upon the Almighty God. And in this psalm, you heard or you can read of many of the attributes of God. Saving grace doesn't only open our eyes to see who we are. Saving grace also shows us a little something of the greatness, of the holiness, of the goodness of God and all his attributes, how great he is. And they begin to hunger and thirst for a God, not that's unknown, but that they have come to know by God's saving grace. May I ask you, congregation, do you know yourself? Do you know a little something of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth? Do you know a little something of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ? Does your heart hunger and thirst and long for him? Or is your heart still stuck in the world and self? Or do you long for a little favor, a little communion for God? Saving grace looks not only of who we are, but looks outside of self to that Almighty God. And listen to David, how he expresses the greatness of God in this psalm. Look in your Bible, Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And then we read, for example, in verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Or we read in verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Congregation, my dear friends, it is our hope that the confession, that your confession that you have made, if you've made confession, and that the confession that you will make may be made, and that we may hear it out of your heart, that it may come out of your mouth. And if it's missing, I pray the Lord, that Almighty Fountain of Goodness, may yet bless you with his grace. This evening, we will not focus only on these seven people who will make confession. It's a message from God's word to each and every one of us, whether we have made public confession of faith or not, because we all live and we all make, children, boys and girls, adults, teenagers, older ones, we all make confession every day with our actions and with our choices. And so tonight we will meditate on the confession of a child of God. We will hear what true confession is. And listen for yourself. Now, don't listen for them. I asked you, they need to listen for themselves. You need to listen for yourself. What is confession of faith? Is it confessing, I know that I'm a Christian? I know that God is my Father. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Is that only true confession? True confession can also be what you all miss. What you all miss and what you know you need. So there's a mixture in confession. And so tonight, with the help of the Lord, we will consider one text from the Word of God from Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11, where we read from the Word of God, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And so the theme for tonight, the content and expression of true confession. The content and expression of true confession. What is the content and expression of true confession? Well, in Psalm 86, verse 11, we read of three things, three phrases in this text, three things which include true confession. And we see also pronouns in each phrase. So it's a personal pronoun or it's a personal confession to someone. Let's read the text again. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And so, what should be the three points? What are the three thoughts? Well, first, true confession includes submission. It includes submission. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Submission to the Lord, to his way. Second thought, true confession includes steadfastness. No, not double-mindedness. No, not so-so. Steadfastness. I will walk in thy truth. And the third thought, true confession includes supplication. Yes, it's all connected. It includes supplication. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And so our theme, the content and expression of true confession, our first thought, it includes submission. Congregation, my dear friends, David begins with a confession, with an expression of surrendering, of submission. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. This confession is an amazing and noteworthy why. Why is it so noteworthy that out of a heart and a mouth of a sinner, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Well, by nature, man is born as enemies of God, born without his grace, rebellious, wanting to only do our own way, our own will. Man without grace has no desire to be taught the way of God, of the Lord. He only loves to walk in his own way. He doesn't need to be taught. He has no desire. He wants to live only according to his flesh, what pleases him. Without a radical renewal, no sinner will ever confess this with their heart and with their mouth. Teach me thy way, O Lord. But by the work, the free and sovereign grace of God and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, a sinner is born again, made alive. An enemy becomes a friend, and he begins to confess. He needs to be taught. He asks, he confesses, he surrenders. Teach me thy way, O Lord. The Lord needs to renew our hearts. Has he renewed your heart? You say, that's old doctrine. We don't need to be born again. That's something of the past. No, it's not. It's the truth. From the beginning of the world to the end of the world, we're born dead in sins and trespasses, and we need to be made alive so that we would truly come to long and to confess that out of our heart, out of our mouth, there would be that cry to the living God, Lord Adonai, teach me thy way, O Lord. This is the confession of one who has God's grace, who has been renewed. He has a desire that the Lord would lead him, the Lord would guide him, that the Lord would teach him. As we read in Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Sinners, by God's grace, submit to the Lord's way with their whole hearts and delight to be taught by God, to be taught by the Lord. God gives grace to submit, not my way, but thy way. Thy way, O Lord, teach me it. Teach me it daily. Teach me it every day, that I may follow and that I may obey. Is that your confession? Have you ever prayed this confession of truth, not only because you know you need to do it, but because you have that urgency, that longing, that hunger, that desire, Lord, teach me? David knows. He needs to be taught. He's a king. You say he knows much. No, he's also a poor, needy sinner. He needs God to teach him every day. David doesn't ask anyone else to teach him what he needs in his soul. He doesn't ask all the counselors. He had many. He had much advisors to help him in the kingdom. But for his soul needs, he asks the Almighty God. My friends, have you also asked him, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord? As David prays, Lord, not my way, not my way. My way is foolish. My way will only end in death. Lord, teach me thy will. Teach me the way that thou would have me to go. But by nature, ignorant, thoughtless, careless, graceless sinners have no need to be taught the way of God. They do not pray this prayer in truth. They do not know the way that they are in that leads to destruction. Yeah, they know it here, but they've never felt it here, graceless ones. And they do not know their end. And therefore they do not pray, Lord, in truth, with their heart and with their mouth, Lord, teach me thy way. The Pharisee who delights in himself and is always, he doesn't need to be taught. The Pharisees had a whole list of their own laws. They don't ask the Lord to teach. And what about the hypocrite? He wants to look good. He wants to look good to others. He wants to be esteemed, but he doesn't with his heart pray, teach me thy way. Or the double-minded man, the one who has a little bit in the world, or much in the world, and a little bit of religion, maybe in church on Sundays, he doesn't pray this prayer in truth. Teach me thy way, O Lord. This is a prayer. This is a confession of true saving faith of a child of God. David prays to the Almighty One, Adonai, thou art the ruler, thou art the king. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And with this, he confesses submission. He's not king anymore in his life. He doesn't want to be taught by himself, for example. No, he's a student in the school of grace, enrolled by the Holy Spirit, and he wants to be taught. He wants to be taught of the way of the Lord. David wants the Lord to teach him how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to be a king, how to be a neighbor. He wants to know the will of the Lord, how to live in everything to God. Why? Because he needs to be taught, but he also wants to live for the glory of God. He wants to know the way of God. Is that your heart? Is that your prayer? Teach me thy way, O Lord. Because I want to live for the glory and the honor. I don't want to live in sin no more. Do you pray, congregation? Yes, you also, congregation. Not only these seven people, but do you also pray, teach me thy way? Do you ask him how to be a godly father, how to be a godly mother, how to live as a single one in godliness, how to live as you're dating, how to live in all your relationships? How to live as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife. How to live at work. How to live in school. How to live in everything as a neighbor, as part of a family, as part of a church. Do you need the Lord to teach you? Because in your heart, you want to serve him in everything. But there's something else in this petition, in the submission of David to the way of God. There's something else much more profound. What is it? David has surrendered and submitted to what God has taught him who he is. And what's that? That he was a good king? No, that he was a sinner. That he was a sinner. That he had sinned. That he does sin. And he remains sin. And so in this petition, David longs to be taught of a way. What way? Of the way back to God. He wants to know of that only way of salvation. The only way, what is that? Confession of faith class? What is that only way back to God? Is it by works? No, it's by grace. Who is the way? Jesus Christ. He said in John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those poor and needy sinners that have grace, true saving grace in their heart, they want to be brought back to what? They just want to go to heaven? No, they want to be brought back into a right relationship with God. And so they pray also with this petition, teach me thy way. Teach me the only way back to thee. David has no more hope of salvation in any other way. It's all become a dead end way. And so he asked the Lord to teach me. Teach me that way of salvation in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Do you need to be taught that? Do you? in your heart, daily, daily, teach me the way. The man, the woman, the boy, the girl, that has not been taught in their heart by the saving work of the Holy Spirit, loves to know morals and doctrines, to be able to explain them, to know them. They like to hear a lot of do's and don'ts, but they have no deep hunger for God, to be restored in relationship with Him, and they do not have a deep need of that only Savior, the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ, because He come is the way of salvation back to God. And the Holy Spirit, what does He do? In the hearts of the sinners, He doesn't only teach them once, but He teaches them continually more and more of their misery. Why? So they'll be led more and more and more into the depths and the riches of the only Savior of Jesus Christ. And the more they taste of that, the more they want to be taught, the more they want to live for the glory of God. And so it's an ever-deepening, profound experience in the heart of a sinner. It's a life of a circle, down deeper and deeper, where I die to everything, and Christ becomes everything. And they pray, Lord, teach me the way, the only way. My friend, is this your heart? Is this your prayer? Have you submitted, not my way, but thy way? Lord, teach me the way to live, the way to walk, the way to talk, the way to do everything as it's my whole life. Do you know and feel the needs to be taught by the Lord, by the Word, His Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, my friends? I hope it's true that you need Him and that your prayer is, teach me, Lord, thy will. Teach me. As we read in Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And so we come to the end of the first thought. What's the theme? The content and expression of true confession. We have considered something of the submission and that petition to be taught of the way. But what else is included? What's that second phrase? It includes steadfastness. David continues in his prayer and he says, I will walk in thy truth. Notice David doesn't say, maybe. Maybe tomorrow I will walk in thy truth. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I will. He doesn't say, I hope to. No, he says, I will. With these words, David confesses the steadfastness, the commitment of his heart to walk in the ways of God. I will walk in thy truth. Is that your confession? Is that your life, congregation? Is that my life? Is that your life, confession of faith class? Longing to be taught, but also that steadfast confession, that commitment in the heart. I will walk in thy truth. What does he mean by walk? Children, do you understand that? I will walk, what does it mean? Well, we walk to school maybe, we walk to the school bus, we walk. Is that what it is? No, walking in the Bible refers to a way of living. Of living. For example, someone who walks in pride, it's not only that he's sinful sometimes, that it means his whole life is all about pride. That it guides him, leads him, controls him, directs him. His pride in his sinful heart, it's all about self. He walks in it. He lives in it. It's all about self. Pride. And by nature, who are you and I without God's grace? Yes, it's our guilt. It's our guilt. Who are we? Open your Bibles to Ephesians 2 and we'll read two verses. Who are we without God's grace? How are we walking? How are we living upon this life? We read in Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's a picture of the natural man walking, living only according to his flesh. David prays and confesses, "I will walk in thy truth." David says, "I will." David is determined in his heart. He has a steadfast commitment not to walk in any other ways, not his own ways, not according to his flesh, but he wants to walk in the truth. In the truth. Is David saying he can in his own power? In his own will? Is that what he's saying? Is David proud? Is he a proud man saying, "I will walk in thy truth"? No, David knows his own heart. He knows because he's been taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a confession of a desire that was born in his heart, of a steadfast commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord. What is the content? What's the content of a steadfast commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord? Well, we may read of David, of him who makes a steadfast commitment in a psalm when he became a king. There's a psalm in the Bible. Open your Bible to Psalm 101, because there we can hear what's in his heart and his steadfast commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord. This psalm is called a psalm of resolutions, or you could say of steadfast commitments to God. It was, we believe, many commentators say, it was in his inaugural prayer when he became king. So David's heart is steadfastly committed to live perfectly to God for his honor and his glory. And where do we read the content? Well, we read in verse 2, Psalm 101, verse 2. "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." So what's the content, a piece of it, of steadfast commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord? To live holy in personal life, in your homes, my friends, in your homes. Holiness begins in our personal lives, in our homes. How do you live in your home, congregation, fathers? How do you live in your homes, mothers, husbands, wives, children, brothers, sisters, single ones? How do you live in your home? It begins with a personal, devoted life to God in our own house. And David prays, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." David is steadfastly committed to walk in all holiness in his life, in his personal life. Yes, we know he fell many times and he fell deep. And yet his heart, by God's grace, was longing to live holy in his home. What else do we read about the content of his steadfast commitment? Well, we read in verse 3, in Psalm 101, verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." He's made a steadfast commitment. He doesn't want to look at any sin. He doesn't want to consider anything that's sinful. He doesn't want it before his eyes. He doesn't want it in his house. He doesn't want it in his palace. He doesn't want it in any part of his life. He doesn't want to look on anything that's sin. Congregation, is that your heart? Have you made a steadfast commitment that you don't want to look at any sin? And yes, today we can pull a little thing out of our pocket and we can look at so much evil, horrible evil through the internet. My friends, have you made a steadfast commitment? I don't want to look on my phone at any sin. Congregation speaks to you and me also. Have you made a steadfast commitment that all that filth, all that evilness, all the wickedness, that you need to get rid of it? You don't want to see it. Why? Because there's love in your heart for God. Sin separates. You don't want to miss his favor. You want his favor. You don't want that separation. David confesses in his house, in his personal life, but what else? We read in verse 4 through 7, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. David's steadfast commitment, what is it? Yes, he will be friendly to all, a special love to all, but he will not live and have a deep bond with ungodly people. He can't live with them as his companions anymore. He can't. He wants godly friends, godly people in his presence to help him in that life that leads to that only way, that only blessing. My friends, my seven friends, who are your friends? Friends can help us in that life that lead to that only way, that only blessing, or they can be such a great hindrance in that life with the Lord. Is this also something of the commitment in your heart by God's grace, my friends? Is this in your heart, congregation? Is this my heart? Not only of submitting, but making a steadfast commitment to what? How would you sum it? To live holy in your whole life. To desire to live in holiness. And God doesn't only want to hear it from our mouth. He wants to see it in the heart. It's not enough from the mouth. He wants to see it in our heart. And how is it shown that it's true in our heart? It's how we live every day. Every day, whoever we are. And how are we to live? Sheep of the Good Shepherd. He sought you. He found you. Why? To make you zealous of good works. That you would be a peculiar people. That you would be a light upon this earth. The salt. How are you to live? How should you live daily, especially you, recipients of God's grace? Walking daily believing the truth. Walking daily searching the truth. Walking daily with a prayer as David, teach me thy will, O God. Teach me thy truth. Walking, practicing the truth. What does that call for? It calls us to crucify the flesh. As Paul said, to crucify the flesh and to put on the new man. Yes, it's a fight. It's a daily fight. How should you walk? Walk, studying the truth, armed with the truth, living in the truth, doing the truth, defending the truth, and doing it with joy. Yes, joy. That's what the Lord wants to see. No, he doesn't want servants that begrudgingly follow him. He wants his dear children to live in joy. Joy in the truth. And as a parent, it's a joy when one of your children or your children may make public confession of faith. Parents, it's a joy. It's a joy for us at consistory. It's a joy to see these friends longing to make confession. John expressed this. 3 John 1 verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's what we long as parents, as consistory, for our children, for the congregation, that they walk in the truth. David, he was not proud. He was a poor, needy sinner who needed to be taught. And he bled, he cried to God. As we read in Psalm 86 verse 10. 86 verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He looked outside himself, and all that he needed, he looked up to that almighty, holy, great God. And so we come to the end of our second thoughts. At the end of this service, I hope we may hear from your mouths this confession, a steadfast commitment to serve the Lord, because anything short is insufficient. And I pray that you may need God's grace, as David also. And so he ends with a supplication. But let us first sing from Psalter 271, stanzas 1 and 2, standing. 271, 1 and 2, we'll sing standing. Of mercy and of justice, my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises, my song shall rise to thee. Within my house I purpose to walk in wisdom's way. O Lord, I need thy presence. How long wilt thou delay? 271, stanzas 1 and 2. Content and expression of true confession. We heard something of submission to God, especially to that only way of salvation, of knowing, longing, that only way of salvation through Jesus Christ, but also of that steadfast commitment to serve God and to serve that only Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the content of true confession of faith. Does David think he can do this all on his own? Do you think you can do it all on your own? My friends, I hope not. David, a king, a man after God's own heart, he feels completely dependent upon God and upon his grace every day. And so let's read Psalm 86, verse 11 again. It's three phrases, but they're all connected. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. So he's longing to be taught so that he can walk in the way of truth. And how does he end? Unite my heart to fear thy name. It's all connected. He wants to be taught, to know the way, to walk in the way. But he needs God's grace. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Is that you? Do you have a longing to be taught, to know the way? And do you also know that you need God's grace? Unite my heart to fear thy name. David is confessing. And I say it in my own words. Lord, this is my heart. Thou knowest my heart. I want to be taught. I want to be led. I want to walk. But Lord, I need my heart to be united perfectly so that I can and I will live in this way every day for thy glory and for my comfort. He supplicates. He supplicates for God to unite, to perfectly unite his heart to his will, to his way, so he can walk in the way of God. David feels. He feels his impureness. He feels his flesh. He feels his sin. Do you feel that also tonight? Friends, he feels it. David wants to serve the Lord, no, not with part of his heart. It's not sufficient what he already does, because he sees it's all sin. But he sees how short he still comes. And that will be to the end of your life, my friend. To the end of your life, you will never ever to be able to say, those with true saving grace, now I live perfectly. No. They will always have that flesh that clings to them. They're wretches in their self. And they have that heart that want to walk, that want to be taught. And yet they need continually God's grace. He submits. And he confesses his steadfast. But immediately connected with it, he feels he needs more. He needs something every day. And so he prays. David supplicates for the Lord. Unite my heart to fear thy name. But does not David already have a new heart? Did we not read that he's a man after God's own heart? Why does David then pray, unite my heart to fear thy name? Yes, God has begun that good work in David. He has a new heart. And because of grace received, he has a small beginning. Yes, they only have a small beginning. And they love the Lord so much, as we read in the Psalm, how great he is, how good he is, compassionate, long-suffering, and how he's so worthy to be served, not only a little, but with my whole being, with my whole heart, with everything I think and say and do. And so they pray. Do you? Unite my heart. Unite my being, not my mind. Not my feelings only, not my thoughts, not my affections, no, all of it. Unite my heart to fear thy name, to honor, to obey. David doesn't hold himself compared to other people. No, he holds himself to the light of the word of God. For example, what we read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Is that you? Is that me? Are you satisfied? I do a couple good things to quiet my conscience. Or is this your heart? Is this your soul, my friend? Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. David knows himself. He knows that truth in his heart, but he feels he needs more. He needs more. He needs it daily, every day. And so he prays, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. The sinner that confesses that he does not need God's grace every day to live in love, to serve him with his whole heart and with his whole soul, he confesses he has no grace. That's the confession. If you say, I'm pretty good, I don't really need to pray this, then you confess. Yes, you make a confession that you do not have any grace at all. But do you? Do you confess as this man? Is this your confession? Is this confession of faith yours? Yours. A true Christian, this is his heart. He wants to serve God. He wants to follow him. He wants to know his way, and he's completely dependent upon God, and that God would not only have originally renewed his heart, but that he would make it pure and pure and pure and more holy in his whole being, because he's not satisfied with anything less. As Robert Murray McShane said and prayed, Lord, make me as holy as a sinner can be. Why? Why did he say that? Because he loves the Lord and he wants to serve him. Because the Lord is worthy to be served in perfection. The heart is, make me. Like whom? What do they want to become like? Like God's own son. Why? Because his son has that heart that's 100% united to serving, obeying, and glorifying God. That was his life. That was his way. That was his walk. That was all in perfection. And they're chosen, sought, bought, returned, renewed. And they will be conformed to the image of his son. Why? Because that is holiness in perfection. That's what they long to be. Not only to be in Christ, to have that reconciliation with God, but to be made like Christ, and they shall be made. Those poor beggars, those sinful ones who've made alive and who long to be taught, to be led, and who need their hearts united to serve the Lord daily, they will be. They will be when he returns. Then they will be made alive if they've died. If they're still alive, in a twinkling of an eye, they shall be made like him. This is a little something of true confession of faith. My friend, do you know something of submission? Or are you still living in rebellion? No, you won't say that. We wouldn't say that, right? But are you still living in rebellion? Do you have that steadfast commitment in your heart because of love, and there's love to God? And is there that supplication, Lord, unite my heart? Or is this all strange to you? Do you know nothing of it? I hope tonight you're convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your life is hanging by a frail, brittle thread. As Jonathan Edwards said, in our dead state above the abyss of hell, and at any moment it can snap. And soul lost, all lost. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The door of grace is open for the chiefest of sinners. And he is willing and ready to receive the greatest of sinners, the poorest of sinners, those that beg him, cry him, unto him, sigh unto him, teach me thy way, unite my heart to fear thy name. My friend, are there some among us who know this in their heart, who know this, who long for this? Is that your heart, my friends? I hope and pray that by God's grace, this petition, three petitions, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. It's in your heart. And that tonight you may confess those questions and say yes by the grace of God. But if you cannot yet, I hope you see your great need, and that by God's grace, this may become real and true in your life. And congregation, I pray that you may also know something of this. This life of grace, of true submission, of a steadfast commitment and supplication. And if you know, then one day you will sing. You will sing. You will be forever free. And then you will be able to serve Him in complete perfection with a heart complete united to serve Him in perfection forever. And then what we read in Psalm 86, verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. That's the future of those blessed people, of those blessed ones, recipients of God's free and sovereign grace, who learn of themselves, who learn of that Savior, and who learn of that only way back to God. Amen. Well, let us now read the four questions I ask the Confession of Faith class, our seven friends, to please stand. I will read the four questions and I will ask your answer individually. And you make this confession first before God and before this church. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? And fourthly, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? Matthew Jonathan Booster, what is your answer? Michaela Nicole Grunewig, what is your answer? Nicole Eileen DeYoung, what is your answer? Rebecca Ann Craigsman, what is your answer? Rebecca Lynn Melgers, what is your answer? Jolene Mariana Van Brink, what is your answer? Daniel Roger Van Horen, what is your answer? Yes. My dear friends, wholeheartedly welcome. Wholeheartedly welcome on behalf of the consistory, and I believe on behalf of the whole congregation. And for six of you, you have been born and lived under the truth. And Dan, in God's mercy, you also, in the time of COVID, were brought under the truth. Welcome, yeah? Welcome. Welcome. And I pray that what we have heard from the Word of God, from Psalm 86, verse 11, that may become your heart, your life, if it isn't. And if it is, then it becomes more and more in a greater depth. And as a member now of this church, you have a responsibility. It comes with responsibilities. It comes with privileges, but it comes also with responsibilities. What responsibilities? First, that you're not only a passive member, but that you're an active member. What do I mean? That you are on your knees during the week, and especially on God's day, before you come to gather to worship, that you're a beggar on your knees before the Lord, begging him not only what you need for your own soul, but for the souls of the whole congregation. God has organized that we live in families, a father, a mother, and children. But God has also organized that we live as a congregation, a family. Why? That we pray for one another, that we care for one another, that we love one another, that we help one another. No, not that we speak bad of one another. May that never happen. May that never happen. But that we love one another. And also, it comes with the responsibility of church discipline. And that doesn't begin in the consistory room. No, it needs to begin in the church family, individually. That you, with love, care for others that are living in this same family. No, not to stand above them, but to stand beside them. If you see another member, another family member in this church going astray, that you visit him, you speak with him, with her, with love for the word of God, love for their souls, and that we may live, congregation, in love, in unity, esteeming the other above ourselves, that we may pray for one another, that we may love one another. And Matthew and Dan, you're male members now. You have a responsibility. Also, when we have male members meeting in the future, then there will be presented, I believe, elders and deacons. You must bow your knees and beg the Lord. Ask him, according to the word of God, what he teaches, of who, of those men that you may believe that's on the list that you need to vote for. And I pray that you may do it faithfully with your conscience before the Lord. It's important that you may be prayerful, but also in this way. Dear friends, that you may live daily needing God's grace to fulfill what you have promised. And there's something beautiful also in the first epistle of John. John knew himself, and he knew also all the sheep of the good shepherd. And he wrote, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We also read this in the form of holy baptism, that when they fall in sin, it's not if, but when, that they may confess it, and that they may seek forgiveness in the only blood of Jesus Christ. I hope, by God's grace, that you know yourself as a sinner. We don't like that name, but it's a good name because that's who we are. But I hope you also learn to love, to know, and another name. And that that name becomes the most precious name in your heart, in your life, and in your soul. And that's the name of the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. Well, let us sing together, congregation, standing from Psalter 308 as a prayer and as a blessing. Psalter 308, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. Though nations fail thy power to own, yet thou dost reign, and thou alone. Psalter 308, stanzas 1, 3, and 4, standing, and immediately after we will sing the doxology from Psalter 436, stanzas 3. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.